All right, we are going to start here with, we got an interesting reading actually. It's from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So here I think the Lutheran lectionary has kind of gone off on its own from the Revised Common Lectionary, other lectionaries, because I know it's not in a couple of the things that I looked at. So it's a kind of an interesting text from wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is from the Kohelet's wisdom collection. So it's in that group, that has a lot of proverbial sayings, general truths, those kinds of things, all right? You'll see why probably pretty quickly why they picked this particular section. As far as the language of Kohelet, it's very interesting language. Used to be, since you saw so many quotes Aramaic features, that it was automatically dated late. But linguists have overcome that conclusion or that argument because, first of all, Aramaic elements appear very early, and Aramaic influence you can see in early texts as well, so that alone can't be a reason for dating Ecclesiastes late. There are also, not only are there Aramaic features, but there's also other dialectical features, and we'll even see them in this particular text as well. So some suggest that it is written in a more vernacular or colloquial kind of Hebrew, or dialectical Hebrew, some would say, as well. And so there is that debate going on, which makes the language, the Hebrew language itself of Kohelet, sometimes kind of difficult. All right, our text is Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In the Hebrew text, it begins at verse 14, but there's a verse different from the English. So if you're following along in your English, it would be verse 15. All right. So verse 14, Ka'asher yatsa mibetanimo, arom yashuv la leket kesheba. All right, I'll stop there. Ka'asher, as one comes out. So notice throughout I'm going to use as the subject of the verbs a kind of a general one, because it's not talking about a specific person, but a general truth. So as one comes out, that's from Yatsa, from the womb of his mother, Mibetin Imo, as one comes out from the womb of his mother, Arom is the word for naked, like that both of them were naked and not ashamed in Genesis. Naked, Yashuv, he will return, call imperfect. All right, naked he will return, la leket, call infinitive construct from halak, naked he will return to go kesheba. That's actually three different articles. You see this a lot in Ecclesiastes. You have the preposition ke, she is the shortened asher. Once thought to be an indicator of late writing, but no longer is that true. You see this in very early texts as well. And then, of course, ba is from the root bo, all right, a call perfect third masculine singular. So it's like naked he will return to go, okay, or here we would probably translate the infinitive as the finite verb. Naked he will go again, and yashuv kind of adverbially, as when ba he came. So ke, just think in your minds, ke asher ba, as when he entered. So notice that Kohelet is making the case that just as you come out with nothing, naked, so you're going to go back again with nothing. And that's kind of one of the themes that you see through the first part of this text as well. All right. So he takes a very realistic look at the human situation, especially then the despair comes if it's seen apart from God. All right. Then the rest of the verse, Ume umalo yisa ba amalo she yolek bet yado. Okay, me'uma means anything, and anything he will not carry. This is from Nasa. So notice we would say nothing he will carry, and namely carry out. Ba, and then amal means labor. And bait is again the preposition, in exchange for his labor. So nothing will he carry out in exchange for his labor. So the point is, a dude can work as hard as he wants. When he dies, he can't take it with him. All right? Okay, and then the she again is for asher. Yolek, this is a hifil, Okay, notice it is a hiphil from halak, a hiphil imperfect from halak, and the medial yud has collapsed. You don't have a mater letter under the holam to help you, so it looks really strange. All right? It's namely halak means to go, so this would be cause to go or a synonym for to carry. All right? So nothing can he lift out in exchange for his labor, which he can carry in his hand. See, which he can cause to go in his hand. All right? Verse 15. Vegam zo ra'achola. All right, notice that zo. Here's an interesting kind of dialectical feature. Some say it's an Aramaism. Some others say it's more dialectical. Zo is equivalent to the Hebrew demonstrative zot, the feminine. You know, you have the masculine ze, feminine zot, zayin, aleph, tav. This is the feminine. You see it throughout the book. Okay. Also, it's an interesting kind of feature, again, of the language of Kohelet. Also, this is ra chola. The chola is from the root chala, to be sick. And this is a call participle feminine singular. The modern letter vav makes it look a little weird. But notice if you have a third hey like bana, the participle is bona, masculine singular, bona, feminine. So this is chole, chola, and it modifies ra'a. Also, this is an evil, a sick evil, which means a grave ra'a, a grave evil, an exceedingly unfortunate situation. Okay. Also, this is a ra'a chola. All right. Here's another strange feature. Kol umat. Why did I pick this text? Kol umat sheba kain yelek. Okay, see the word umat. Again, it's parallels an Aramaic word uma, and it means, it's used as a preposition to mean to correspond to or to be parallel with. All right. Notice that it is in construct with sheba, and usually it's. Some suggest, and I think that's probably better, that it's not kol, but it's the preposition ke plus the preposition lamed, because lamed in other texts occurs with umat. So, in other words, you would say exactly parallel to who comes out, exactly parallel to as ba he comes out, thus he will go. In other words, the guy who comes out of the womb and the guy who goes in are exactly the same. See, it doesn't matter what you've done with your life. When you come in, you're naked. When you go out, you nothing. See, so notice the view that Ecclesiastes, the Kohelet, is proposing or is assuming here. So also this is a rachol, a grave evil. According to as parallel to when he came out, thus he must go back. Yelek. Okay? Uma Yitron lo. Yitron is profit or advantage. And what is the advantage to him? What's the profit to him? Who? Ya. See, now here's the verb ya'amol. Ya'amol is from the root amal, call, imperfect, third masculine singer. Again, you have shef for asher. So what is the profit to him who labors la ruach, for the wind? Okay, so what's the profit for him? You do all this work, la ruach, for wind. That's all you get in the, ultimately. Okay? Verse 16. Gam kol yamav bachoshek yokel. Also, all his days, so again you have this kind of extent of time, through all his days, bachoshek. In the darkness, yokel. He must eat. All right, now, and I think by darkness he means your life situation can become very bad. You don't know what's going on. You seem to be at the whim of God. So in darkness, yokel, he eats. Vekaas, and vexation, harbe is an infinitive construct from rava, hifil, infinitive construct, and it modifies vexation. So we would translate, and much vexation. So again, also all his days, through all his days, in darkness he eats, and much vexation, and this is from Chala again, and his affliction and ketzef is wrath. So those are all nouns there. So also all his days he eats in darkness and much vexation and affliction and wrath. Okay? Every party has a pooper, and Kohelet is the one. All right? Verse 17. Now notice there's a mitigation. This is one of the passages in Ecclesiastes where you see a mitigation from this kind of view. Hine asher ra'iti ani tov asher yafeh le'ekol ve'lishtot ve'lirot tov ve'kol amalo she'ya amol tachat hashemesh. Okay. Look what I have seen. Notice the ani, the pronoun follows, and then you have the little rabia there. It's telling you that ani goes with ra'iti. Usually the pronoun will follow the verb or precede the verb for emphasis. Here it follows. Look what I have seen, what I myself have seen as good. Okay. What, then again you have to presuppose I have seen, what is beautiful is le'akol, here you have infinitive construct, to eat, ve'lishtot, and to drink, another infinitive call from shata, to drink, to eat and to drink, ve'lirot, another infinitive from ra'a, and to see, tova, good, in all amalo, in all one's labor, which ya'amol, again a call infinite, or call imperfect, which he labors under the sun. All right. So again, let me look at that. Look, what I have seen as good, what is beautiful, yafeh, is to eat and to drink and to look at goodness. Look at goodness. What he means is, I think, to look at the good side of things, I guess. In all his labor, which he labors under the suns, under the sun. Now, here's accusative of extent of time. Mispar is for the number of the days of his life. So notice you have this construct chain. For the number of the days of his life, which he gives to him God, which God gives to him, okay, or to whom God gives, okay, for it is his portion. So notice what he's saying here. This is what's good. It's to be able to eat, to drink, to see goodness in all one's labor for which you labor under the sun, for the number of days of your life which God gives to you. See, that's your portion. In other words, God gives you a portion to your days. If he blesses you, gives you this gift to be able to eat, to drink, to see goodness, then you're a lucky guy. Okay? Verse 18. Gam kol hadam asher natan lo ha'elohim osher u nekasim vehish lito le'kol mimenu velaseit et chelko. Okay, I'll finish off. Ve'lis moach ba'amalo. Okay. Also, every man, kol ha'adam, every man who God gives to him, again, natan lo Elohim, who God gives to him, or to whom God gives osher, riches, and another word for riches, nekasim. Here's another Aramaic lexical item. Whoever gives riches and wealth, and here's another one, vehishlit, shalat means to have, to be powerful, to have power over. This is a hifil perfect. Third masculine singular subject is God. Okay, so whoever, to whom God gives riches and wealth, and he gives him power, gives him the opportunity, let's say, le'ekol, to eat, all right, from it, and sa'et, to carry his portion. That's the sa'et is a call infinitive construct from nasa, to eat his portion, and simoach, to rejoice ba'amalo, in his labor. This, again, see that this is a matat. That's a dialectical. Some suggest it's from Phoenician. This is a gift of God. This is a gift of God. It is he. So notice it kind of emphasizes. This is a gift of God. It. Or this itself is a gift of God. Maybe you want to translate it. Okay. Now here's the kind of last verse here. Ki lo harbe. Notice the infinitive again from Rava. Yizkor, you know it as he will remember, imperfect. Now, this is why it's good. Here, this is why it's a gift, what he's saying. That's what he's going to tell us here. For not much will one remember. But here it's translated variously as brood over or think about. Okay? Not much will one think about the days of his life. In other words, if you are given the gift to be able to enjoy what the Creator has given you to a certain extent, you're less likely to brood over your situation, which is you got to die, which is life is vanity. See? Okay? For God, ma'ane, that's a hifil participle. For God is, and you remember ana to answer, but remember ana also means to sing, ana also means to afflict in the pl, and it also means to be occupied by, inyan. So here, for God is busying you or occupying you with the simchat libo, with the joy of his heart. Or, yeah, for God is occupying him with the joy of his heart. All right? So notice the kind of, that's, quotes, the mitigation that Kohelet gives in various places throughout the book from, you know, the view of life is vain, you know, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do you get from all your riches? You go out as you came in, so what's the value of it? And he says here, well, the gift of the Creator is to enjoy the ability to enjoy what God has given you, see. So notice he says, that you see that in verses 17 and 18 especially, see. That's kind of what he's talking about, for the number of the days of your life. All right. So notice he's saying, first of all, that accumulation of stuff is futile, right? I mean, he kind of keeps pressing that point, not only here but throughout the book. The major gift that he sees for the Creator is the relative enjoyment of one's work, family, companions, at least to keep your mind off your predicament. All right. Now, you know, how do you want to preach a sermon on that? I think Ecclesiastes as a whole, and this text as a whole, is a helpful of giving people a real view of what their situation is, you know, in a materialistic culture, in a culture that kind of avoids all thoughts of ultimate, you know, what's your ultimate goal, what's your ultimate purpose, what, you know, what's going to happen to you when you die, all those kinds of things. What does your life mean in the face of death? Why all this labor? Why all that stuff? People keep wanting to push that off. Well, Ecclesiastes forces people to think about that. And, you know, I think the function of a text like this can be to work a fear of God in a person, to work a wondering, you know, what is my life all about, which then makes a place to come with the Christian message of the gospel and what God has done for us and the redemption that we have and the ultimate gift that we have. So that's probably, I would look at this text as more as how do I want this text to function for the person who's going to be hearing it. That's where I would go. Okay? All right. I'm done.